you again. You would think because I was related to Brother Charlie Turner by marriage, and that's the only relationship that I will admit, that I'd have a little pull with him. But twice he's reminded me, don't sit over there on the front row. Can a preacher sit wherever he wants to? No, in this case, it just wasn't the case. I do thank you again, though, for having me as your fill-in preacher. I'm delighted to have the great opportunity to speak to this good group of people. I deem it a privilege. It is a grave responsibility. And my only prayer this morning is that as we come together, that what we do here will be pleasing to our Father which is in heaven. And I know that that's the way these elders here feel. And I do know that the vast majority of this membership here wants us to do precisely what the Bible would have us do as we assemble on the first day of the week. This morning, for a little while, we're going to consider a phrase that simply says, not everyone. And the purpose of this lesson is not to paint a restrictive picture of the Lord's church. The purpose of this lesson is not to discourage someone who's trying. But the purpose of this lesson indeed is to show from the Bible that God's kingdom is unique. That God's church is indeed exclusive. Not in the sense that man would have made it that way. Not in any way that I would have drawn it or made it. But only because I have the grave responsibility, as does every teacher and preacher, to point out things that we need to know to help us keep our faith and help us serve our Heavenly Father in the way that He would have us go and live and do. Not everyone. One of the saddest things to contemplate in all of my life and your life is that not every human being will be saved. Many of us in this room this morning will have to face the seriousness of the fact that not every member of our families will be saved. And that's simply because God has made us people of choice. And regrettably, some will choose not to obey. And some will choose to fall away. Some will choose to follow their own path and their own intellectual philosophy. Listen as the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the first chapter, describes some of the very exclusive nature of His church. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God's done His part. And each of us has a part to do. Looking down at verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Yes, indeed. It is through Christ Jesus and through Christ only that the human race has the hope of eternal salvation, redemption, forgiveness of sins. And we go over to verses 22 and 23, and we see the writer through inspiration saying, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." It is the church in which all blessings are found. It is the body of Christ where salvation, where peace, where the riches of God are discovered. And yet the saddest part of all is that on this earth today of nearly 6 billion people, the vast majority will not know or choose not to know Jesus Christ. Again, I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that the intended message this morning is to make us appreciate that Jesus Christ came to save us. To make us understand that God loves us so much that He gave His Son. And that we will value our souls in the church beyond human comprehension. Not everyone will be saved. All of you are familiar with the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 21, when He said, speaking to the Jews there, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father, which is in heaven." I know a sermon like this would not be accepted just everywhere. But these words are the words of the Son of God. Just because I say, just because I think, just because I feel good about something does not mean that I've yet submitted my will to Jesus Christ and done His will. Many will say unto Me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils? Have we not in Thy name done many wonderful works?" And the Bible says further in this same context, "And I will then profess unto them, Depart from Me, ye that do iniquity. I never knew you." There is a philosophy afoot today that's called universalism. And that is a philosophy of man that says God's just too good not to save everybody. But God in the flesh some 1900 years ago said not everybody will be saved. Jesus Christ, God's Son, says many, as a matter of fact, the vast majority, who shall choose to enter into that wide and easy gate shall not be saved. Let's pause here. Is there a person in this room this morning who's not obeyed the gospel? Is there a child of God in this room this morning who's in some way publicly opposing the church, bringing reproach upon the name of Christ? I would pray with you, these elders, these good brethren, would beg you to change today. And seek God's forgiveness and the forgiveness and prayers of brethren. Not everyone will be saved. But him or her who does the will of God in heaven.
it would be a wonderful privilege to play a small part in a baptism this morning for someone who believes that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and who, in the process of repenting of sins, makes the great confession, "I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son," and then submits himself or herself to baptism, which God commands and not man commands. Not everyone will be saved. Some will simply judge themselves unworthy of salvation. What a shame. You might recall in Acts, the 13th chapter, we find in that setting the Apostle Paul and Barnabas in the city of Antioch of Pisidia, having gone as was their custom, first to the Jews. And the Jews, as it became more and more known abroad, was turning away from Christ, or refusing to come to Christ, I should better say. Acts 13:46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold," the Scriptures say, "and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should have first been spoken to you, that is to the Jews, but since you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." In McMinnville, Tennessee, in Warren County, Tennessee, today there are thousands who are judging themselves unworthy of eternal life because of their refusal to study God's Word and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to show you from God's Word this morning that there will be some in the church who will go back to the world, and some who will dabble with one foot in the church and one in the world, and therefore shall not be saved. All men will not be saved. How tragic it is. But all will not be saved. In John 5 and verse 40, Jesus said to the Jews, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And can you just see Jesus Christ as pitifully He prayed over the city of Jerusalem itself? In Matthew 23 and 37, He cried, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." I remember just as a little, white-haired, knot-kneed, skinny little kid over on Old Morrison Highway many years ago, watching as danger would come into the backyard of some kind in the form of a rampaging kid or two, or a dog, or a rattling truck would come by, or stormy weather would approach. I watched the little chickens as they ran to the mother hen. And Jesus said to the city of His people, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why won't you come to me?" Jesus Christ today looks down upon all this earth and says, "Oh, come to me." And our Lord looks to His people, "Come to me." But all will not. Number two, all the religious people in this world will not be saved necessarily because they're religious. "Why, preacher, what are you talking about? What's wrong with you, preacher? What are you saying? Have you ever read Acts the 10th chapter? I know you have. And there you and I meet one of the finest human beings who ever walked. A gentleman by the name of Cornelius, devout, religious, God-fearing, and lost. Because he had not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and was not a Christian. Sad truth is that millions choose not to do the will of their Heavenly Father. It's just not in. It's just not convenient with my lifestyle. It just doesn't fit in with the crowd that I run with. Just because one professes a form of religion is not absolute insurance that he or she will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, Son of God, said in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father which sent me. My job today, your job today, is to seek to do your Father's will. And I do believe that every person in this room this morning, because you've made the effort to be here, I do believe that you're seeking to do your Father's will, and I would encourage that so much. And each of us needs to encourage one another to continue to do our Father's will. Even the Son of God was called upon to bend His will to the Father's will. In Hebrews 5:8-9, the Scriptures say, through absolute truth, though He were a Son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, that is, complete, absolutely finished, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Brothers and sisters and friends, I want you to not listen to those people who are saying today that you don't need to obey. The absolute proof of your faith and of my faith is in our doing God's will as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Not everyone will be saved. And not everyone who is simply and merely religious will be saved. And not just everyone who raises his or her hands and prays to God shall be heard. Acceptable prayer comes from the lips and hands and minds of one who is seeking to do the will of his or her Heavenly Father. In 1 John 3:22, the Bible reads this way, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Am I pleasing God this morning? Am I pleasing God in my home? Are my prayers going up to our Heavenly Father because I'm living righteously as I understand God's will and doing everything that I can to assure that my character is clean and pure? Am I treating my neighbors kindly and fairly? Is my influence that which a Christian ought to be? Am I the son or daughter that I should be to my mother or father or to my caretaker? Am I the Christian husband or wife that I can be and God would have me to be so that my prayers will be heard? am I asking of my Heavenly Father in faith and assurance? In James 1 and 6, the Scriptures say, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven by the wind and tossed. Our Heavenly Father begs us to pray to Him. And He begs us to lift up pure hearts and minds and hands as we worship Him with our lives. And our Heavenly Father would have us pray in harmony with His will and not my will. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, the Scriptures read, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. No, this speaker is not teaching that one who is seeking God and not yet in the kingdom will not be heard. I know better and you know better. But we too, who are baptized believers, must also continue to seek in purity and righteousness so that our prayers will be heard and that our supplications will go up to our Heavenly Father as a wonderful sacrifice on our own behalf and the behalf of others. We ought always to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ, before His betrayal and His ultimate death, in John 14:14, said to the apostles, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. We know the context. We know Christ was speaking to the 12. But the point is still clear. Our Heavenly Father wants our lives to be clean and pure and righteous so that our prayers will be heard. James said in a more practical way in James 4 and 3, you ask and receive not. And James was talking to Christians. Because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Friends and neighbors and Christians and brothers and sisters, our prayers ought to come from honest and humble hearts. And our prayers ought to be for the strength of the brotherhood, for deeper and wider and greater faith on our part and the parts of our family members and the members of the congregation. Not everyone who prays will be heard, but he that is doing and seeking to do the will of his or her Heavenly Father. Fourthly, and maybe the saddest of all, not everyone in Christ's church will be saved. Several years ago, my wife and I were sitting, or we were standing, I don't remember exactly where we were. But a pretty decent young man who was one of the 10 or 12 deacons in the congregation at that time, said to both of us, you know, all I care about is making money. Traveling around a lot and being in the kind of work I was in, I'd seen a lot of things. But I'd never heard that coming from a deacon in the Lord's church. not everyone in Christ's church will be saved. Just as in Paul's old age, as he was nearing death, he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And ladies and gentlemen, something as mundane as coming back to the assembly at 6 o'clock can be the death knell for some Christians. "I've got too much investment in the world. Lord, I don't have time for you. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." These words were not invented by the Church of Christ. These aren't my words. These are the words of God in the flesh. Friends and neighbors, Christian brothers and sisters, let us count it so marvelously wonderful that we can be named among the saints and see that our lives reflect that. And in truth, not everyone actually loves the Lord. As I said earlier, on one of the recent TV stations, the announcer or the broadcaster made the comment that we were just a short time away from an official count of 6 billion people on this earth. And the saddest truth of all is that so many do not want to hear the truth. And even today in 1998, there are thousands who wear the name Christian who do not want to be troubled with the harder things of the gospel. Friend and neighbor, brother and sister, where are you? The Apostle Paul, speaking for God, said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, starting with about verse 3, said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid in them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And finally, not every human being is even honest. Not everyone will be saved. The Holy Spirit directed, breathed these words to Paul, who conveyed them to Timothy, who was a young preacher of the truth. The Holy Spirit spake in these words, "For the Spirit speaketh expressly," that is, explicitly, not mincing the words, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And I need not tell you the rest of this verse. I believe that we've seen enough this morning to know that everyone will not be saved. But the most beautiful thing of all is simply as we go back to the beginning of our lesson, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, such a wonderful thought to know that God's message to me is so simple. And that as Jesus said, His burden was so light. And what God asked of me and of you is so doable. And so we can have the absolute assurance of eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the apostle wrote in Romans 14 and 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, and every tongue shall confess God. We need not be afraid of that day if we're living faithfully in the sight of our God and our fellow man. And may the God of heaven, through His Word, help each of us to live in a way that we will bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ and His wonderful, marvelous church. This lesson is yours. May God help each of us to be sound and honest and productive citizens in His kingdom. If you, as a child of God this morning, need to come back home through prayer and repentance, we'd want you to do that in a moment as Brother Greg leads us shortly. If you know that you need to obey the gospel to be saved, believing Jesus Christ is God's Son, repenting of sins, confessing the great truth that Christ is indeed the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism, we would want to be a part of that and rejoice and glory with you in your salvation. Please come as together we stand and sing.